The money you spend is a reflection of your faith. So give it according to your faith. If you believe in the gospel, give it to it. Give for the preaching of that gospel. If you are in a church, for goodness sake, if my house leaks today, my house, where I'm living, I don't wait till tomorrow. One day I heard ta-ta in my roof. I just heard ta-ta. I called my brother, the architect. Oh boy, come, I'm hearing ta-ta. Next day he was there with the roof man. They entered into the building, to the roof, and came and said, we can't see anything. I heard ta-ta again. I said, no, it's still sounding. He went and brought the man who installed the roof. They went everywhere and said, okay, we can't even see the space where the water is landing. Now, are you getting what I'm saying? That's how much concern I have because what? It's my house. I live there. My children are there. So if I'm a member of a church and we come on Sunday and the roof is leaking, are you seeing what I'm calling a responsibility? Of course. Common sense means that it dictates that I will tell the pastor, Pastor, what are we doing? If you say there's no money, how can there not be money? This is where we meet three times a week. Sundays we are here. What? I mean, this maybe, assuming it's April. Say rain is just starting now. We're going to have rain for the next 7 months. So what do we do? Sir, please, here is my own portion. Please tell the brethren to contribute. But we will not be able to rest because it's our collective what? Roof. Listen. This is what I'm going to say. I'm not going to say something like, when you do that, that's what we preachers now mistakenly do. When you do that, God will roof a house for you. When you do that, then listen, the things you do, God doesn't repay them directly like that. Let's stop fooling ourselves. The people who do all of these things and God doesn't give them anything. He said, come. You don't need it anyway. But the day they arrive and see Jesus, you know what he'll do? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. What better thing can somebody hear in this universe? So why are you looking for multiply a motor for me? Multiply house for me? When you should be walking towards, one day I will see him and he will look and say, well done. You were a good and faithful servant. You were dependable. I knew that if anything happened, I could count on you. When that roof blew open, I said to my angels, don't worry. Andrew is in that church. When it blew open, I said, don't worry. Philip is there. And the angel said, look, he can't sit there and not do something. But we now have idol worshippers who we encourage, who will roof this building that God might roof his life before December. And you see muguns rush forward. I look at them, I shake my head. Does this look like Oshun Shrine to you? Because there are people who will be there. God will say, wait, that money I gave you is not for roofing. That's how Jesus is. Say, what is it for, Lord? I told you to buy your wife some new dresses. She has not changed her clothes in 12 months. Say, but the roof is leaking. Say, the other guys have more money than you. I've commanded to do it. You go and do this other one. Say, but this is for the house of my God. Your wife be like house of Satan? That is Jesus I'm telling you about. You know, say, but this, you know, Jesus said, wait, let's get it clear. Let's not deceive ourselves. That house is not my house. Huh? It is a building where all of you meet. You are my children. And I don't want roof, rain to drop it. It's not my house, it's your own. So Jesus, where's your house? Anywhere you gather, even if it's under a mango tree, that is where I am. As for that building, it's not my house. Don't deceive yourself. Don't deceive me. Your church building is not my house. I don't dwell in a house made of stones, brick mass, or with human hands. We just read it here that the temple is being built, all of us together, Jews and Gentiles, no difference, into one single temple. So what about that building? It's a convenient hall. If you are a wedding, even though it's not my house, do you want it to leak? No. So when you, my house, come to the house, I hope you're getting my point.
Yes, sir.
Then I'm there. So don't go and do any idol worship. I'm just saying you should be responsible. That's all I'm saying. That's why I said at the beginning, one of the problems we have had in the Nigerian church is unfaithfulness. Many people have been faithful to the Jesus idol that they worship, and they think they are faithful to God. Please, let me recommend for you. We have some copies here, How to Work for God. But if you are one of the tech people, you can download it for free from our website, pastor.ng. Read the book. In How to Work for God, we have about 5 sections. But section number 1 is the most important. And what I write in there, I said the work of God is inside. The work of God is what? Is where? Inside. Listen, no matter how much you do outwardly, it is measured. How do I say this? Let me give an example. You know, if you want to enter into university, you must pass SSC, have a minimum qualification, right? Yes. Then you will now pass JAMB and post UME screening. Let us assume you go and do JAMB, you get 390 over 400. You do post UME, you get 398 over 400. Your average is now 396, Abby? Is it 94? Which is very high. Now, what I've just told you is not gettable. Can I use that English? But just to let you know how high you've scored. Do you know if you come for admission, you now present 4 credits in SSCE, fail in English, fail in mathematics? Are they going to answer you?
No.
In fact, you are in trouble. Because you have to explain how you got 200 and 390 something in the exam that you cannot pass SSC. I hope you get my point. Does it get into university just because you got so much a high mark in the matriculation exams and the post-UME screening exam? No. First of all, you must have what? SSC. That's why, you know, last year, Jam now started saying that, you know, before when people like us went to university, you could get provisional admission. You come in, then when you're, because if you pass JAMB while you are in final year in secondary school, JAMB results come out before WASC results, remember? So JAMB will give you admission before your result. So I remember those who will fill our form, awaiting result. You know, recently JAMB said, no, they don't want again. Now they deny you admission until your WASC result is out. That's the new one they started. Was it last year they started it? I don't know how many people are up to, you know? I think it was last, I don't know, last year was when I began to notice it. That the idea of awaiting results, we don't even want to get. Before they give you admission, you must show them you have the minimum of 6 credits in the relevant areas, including English and mathematics. Now, why am I saying all of these things? Our SSC result is Christ formed in us. All the other work we do outside is JAMB and post-UME. No matter how much you do for God, outside, build house for him, die for him, do anything you like for him. If he doesn't find Christ in you, you are wasting your time. That is why the foundation for working for God, first of all, is giving your life to Christ. Secondly, you build up Christ in you. The most important work for God is the image of Christ being formed in you on a daily basis, not the one you are doing outside. The one you are doing outside actually must be a reflection of what Christ is being formed inside you. That's why somebody was cooking for Jesus. So Jesus could eat. But Jesus was teaching the word. And Mary was sitting with him. Martha said, have you got to tell Mary to come and help me work for you? Jesus said, the most important work is what Mary is doing. Yeah. Why? As I speak my words into the heart of Mary, Mary is becoming like me. The more you walk outside, the less like me you are. Because you can't see me. It's the more of me you see that produces me inside you. I am more interested in me being formed in you. That was why when Jesus was hungry, he was one hungry so much that he became weary. The people went out to go and look for food, and he encountered one woman. You know the story in John chapter 4.
Yes, sir.
The woman of Samaria. By the time he finished talking to that woman, and Christ had moved into her, they came back and said, Jesus, see food. He said, I'm no longer hungry. What did you eat? My food is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. That is, Jesus would have been more satisfied if Mary, Martha, and everybody had sat down there and he thought and thought. When he would have exhausted what was inside his soul for the moment, then they could go and look for the food. Because then he would have been satisfied. What am I going to say? It's more important to him that he sees himself inside you than he sees your money given to him. Your money is less important to him. What does he want? That truth is formed, that he forms himself in you by the imbibing of his truth. That is, last year when they came here, they said, this is a true Makurdi man. This year they came, they said, this is a true Christian. Are you seeing the difference? That is, who do you reflect when people see you? That's what's more important to Jesus. That's what's more important to him. And he's saying, listen, this is like a prophetic word. That the problem with this nation has been unfaithfulness in the church. Unfaithfulness. Except that they did not know what unfaithfulness is. Once they all go to church on Sundays, they think they are faithful. Once all of them gather and build massive structures, they think they are being faithful. Once they gather, contribute huge amounts of money and do funny things, people can see, they think they are being faithful. Once they can count numbers of the number of heads and the number of money, and it's increasing, they think they are being faithful. But they are not faithful to the real Jesus. They are faithful to the idol who they gave the name Jesus. So many times Christians, I'm sorry to say this was not my intention, they are very faithful to their denominations. That is, even if what their pastor is saying is wrong, they know it is wrong, but it's their church doctrine. And they will die for it. You'll be amazed. People can die for wrong things. People not blowing themselves up for out of, people think they are blowing themselves. You know, people don't understand. He says people are blowing themselves up so they can have 70 virgins. Nobody's looking for anything. People are blowing themselves up out of frustration with life. You know why you can't imagine being a suicide bomber? You know why? You never wanted to die. Dying has never been an option for you. Are you getting my point? I hope you know more people die on a daily basis from suicide in the world than die as Islamic bombers. I don't know whether you're getting my point. In fact, now I want to give you a rough estimate. I am convinced the number of suicide bombers that we see in a year in the world is not as much as the number of people who just commit suicide for no reason in a week. No, think about it. In some countries, it's the number one killer of young people, suicide. I heard the other day in Lagos, somebody was telling me about it. I was surprised that a young man, someone was telling me about it. They called the father. He had been into drugs. Then he came out. He went to rehab, came home. They called the father. Something, the father said there must be a problem. He ran down. By the time he got home, the boy was hanging by the neck. I don't know whether I get my point. I'm going to say something here. People are dying uselessly every day from suicide, and they are not cleaning themselves for anybody. So don't be shocked that one of such people will join a religion and now tie a belt around his waist with a little bit of promise. I don't know whether I get my point. He's already frustrated with his life. Then I say, if you die, maybe when you get there, there will be something for you. Oh, he does it. So people who are committed to wrong things, they die for it too. That's what I'm going to explain. So dedication has not been the problem for a lot of us believers. It's to what that has been the issue. We have not been dedicated to the truth. Let me summarize it with this. How do you know that you're dedicated to the right thing? How do you know that you are serving God truly? This is a simple check. Let's read it from Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. I just feel like reading a long portion. Let's read from verse 2. It said, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Savior. Seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness, through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence, in your faith supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence knowledge, and in your knowledge self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. Now notice verse 8. It said, if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'll just stop reading here so as to save time. Did you notice that? That is, if these qualities are not in you and they are not increasing, then you're unfruitful. No matter what you are producing outside, you're unfruitful. This is a mark that our dedication is true. Godliness is increasing in us on a daily basis. This is a mark that our dedication is true. Righteousness is increasing in us on a daily basis. Our moral character, I like the way that my Bible puts it. It said moral excellence. It said, in your faith, supply moral excellence, knowledge, self-control, perseverance. That is a sign that we are dedicated to the right thing. That's why I said he's a God of, first of all, what? Truth. Now, let me read this. I need to read before I go. Isaiah chapter 40. He's a God of truth and wonders. Let's see how he handles that, the matter of wonders, in Isaiah chapter 40. I'll read from verse 3. A voice is calling, clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. Make smooth in the desert a highway for our God. Let every valley be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. And let the rough ground become a plain, and the rugged terrain a broad valley. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all flesh will see it together. Now, I want you to notice something here. It says, if we want God's glory to be revealed, what we do is what? Make a road for the Lord in the wilderness. And I'm teaching us again this morning that what God is saying is that if these things we are saying, if this Christ character, if this adapting ourselves to the nature of God inside us, if it becomes real, wonders will be automatic. Did you hear what I said? Yeah, they will be automatic. They will be automatic. Then you will, before you even ask for something, the Lord will have done it. Because one of the things that God does as he's building himself into you is that he even lets you know what to ask for. If God were to do everything we ask for, you know, half of our neighbors would be dead. Do I need to tell us? No. We all know it. If God did everything that modern day Christian asked him for, we just wake up in the morning, blood will be all over the road. Some people were shouting that some people kill some people. We don't even know who prayed against those people. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Some of us will be saying, ah, this man and his family, they were inside the home, and the headsmen came and killed them. And we're angry, right? We forget that the man's neighbor prayed last week, all my enemies die. Then this week, they died. Then we are complaining. I don't know whether you caught what I said here. We don't even know who to hold responsible. I used to say something jokingly. I said, some people wake up one day, the whole street will be dead. You say, why? I said, because these people, they are praying. All our enemies die. Die by fire. Die by fire. Fire, you know? Gunshot, is it not fire too? Then the other neighbor too is praying, all my enemies die by fire. So one day, some criminals will just come, fire everybody. Everybody is dead. And then we are looking for the criminals. Meanwhile, God said, look for the prayers they both prayed last week. Because some of those prayers work. Well, I hope you know that. It doesn't impress me. They work. It's called witchcraft. Witchcraft works. It just, no, the fact, look, listen, let me not go into that. You can kill somebody with those prayers. I've seen people come to brag on them before. I say, I'm not impressed. They work. Let's not go into it. If you lodge petition against somebody who only did you evil before God, if you say, God, kill him, he will. There's only one problem. You are in trouble. Because once you pray that prayer, everybody you offended to, suddenly the road is clear for them. Day to day will now come and say, Lord, he stole my money. Finish his business. I'm telling you. He said, his son cheated from my son's book. Make him stupid. And God will be answering all of them, one after the other. You won't know why. That's what the Bible says, he that shows mercy will receive mercy. That's why he said, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive. That if we don't forgive, we too are in trouble. Because everybody has sinned. As somebody is your enemy, so are you somebody else's enemy. So if you say, Lord, kill my enemy, God said, fine. How many of them? Six. Good. So they shoot all six. He came, Lord, correct God. I like you. Testimony time, blessing time. Praise the Lord. Last week I had six enemies. And as man of God came, he said, sow a seed for the death of your enemies. I went and took the money I saved to buy my new land.
I gave it. And I said, Lord, my enemies die.
Brethren, I want you to know as of today, the fifth one dropped dead this morning. Amen. Amen. I heard the sixth one is sick right now. I'm hoping the doctor will certify him dead before tomorrow evening. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It sounds funny, but you know, these things really actually happen. We come to church, we testify. What we don't know is that we have opened the door for evil spirits into our own lives. Because he that refuses to show mercy, mercy will be denied him too. Everybody you have offended, they are on your case now. So I just wanted to, let's not get involved in witchcraft prayer. How should you pray? If somebody does you evil, just say, God, you are my God. How can one chase 1,000 and two chase 10,000? Except the Lord gave them up. Lord, please be my protector. Let evil not come upon me again. That is, you take things in stages. If your faith cannot rise to bless the person initially, just leave the individual. Don't mention the fellow's name. As time goes on, God will give you strength to say, I forgive him. Bless him. Help him. It's ignorance. He's being used by the devil. Why should he die and go to hell? That's how God is in stages. Just assume that everything that comes to you, if a stranger slaps you, assume he's an angel and ask Lord, why am I being slapped? You know the truth? What I've said now is not a joke. That's how life really is. When God wants to help you, you know he sends strangers. True of us. When he wants to discipline you, who do you think he will use? He will also use them. One soldier will just slap you, boom, for you. So it's not soldier, it's God. You now ask yourself, why? According to Alibaba, you turn into a meditative slap. Why will he slap me now? What did I do to him? As you are saying it as a Christian, you are praying to God. Some people say, there is no justice in this country. I was slapped and he got away with it. Your problem is not this country. You are a Christian. God, actually, you know what God said? Before a strand of hair falls from your head, he knows about it. You know, my hair used to be plenty. One day I had to ask God, why are you plucking them off one by one? Because this one I'm using low cut. It's condition. You know, this one. It's not style, though. If God allowed me the kind of thing that's inside my heart. In fact, maybe that's why he removed this. This guy will go and preach with punk. Everything is the Lord. As a believer, think like that. That's how you handle such things. Somebody takes your money. In fact, money is one I like most. If somebody takes my money, that's one that doesn't worry me at all. That one can't worry me. Do you know why? I learned long ago that every cobble I have is counted by the Lord. So if you come and steal from it, I'll ask the Lord to replace it. Because he was there when you were stealing it. I'll ask the Lord to replace it. So no human being can deny me of cash. It's not possible. So you can physically take money away. I learned that one long ago. I just shrugged my shoulder. Money is one of those things I learned early to wipe off my mind. I just shrugged my shoulder. What's the big deal? It's not money. I leave it. All I'm thinking of is God will bring it back. If I was to buy, supposed to buy something at the end of the day, if it's important to God, he will bring the money through another means. I will buy it for the end of the day. So my case is like, there's a Yoruba proverb that says, Tenibegi loju. How many of you speak Yoruba enough to understand that? Uh-huh. That is the man cutting the tree that is suffering. The tree will grow back. It will sprout again. Just give it time. You are the one punishing yourself. That's my attitude. And I want every believer to have that attitude. This is a sign that we're actually working with him. That these qualities are ours in our lives. But what I'm saying again is this. When we have done that, his wonders will be normal in our lives. Before I go, I'm going to pray. And my prayer, one of the things I want to pray about is that I want to rebuke every sickness in people. And I ask the Lord ahead that he will heal people present here to show truly that he is God. And there is nothing. He can heal land. Do you know physical land? He heals land. He heals communal clashes. He does. And please let me not leave without explaining this. Everything I have preached, God said this must be effected amongst the people if they want the land to be blessed. People must be correctly dedicated to him. They must focus on adapting their lives to the pleasure of God. That Christ must take them over personally. Enough of religious worship of Christ. Enough. Enough of treating him like an idol. What we want now is for him to be God in us. We want Christ to be formed in us. God said that must be the focus. That's the blessing for every land that you find black people on this earth. Every time they become too free, they go back into slavery. Let me say that again. Every time the African nation gets too free, they will always go back into slavery. Let me say something to you. Physical emancipation of slavery means little. If you don't spiritually emancipate a people, they will always return back to slavery one way or the other. They will. The South Africans were making noise. The whites. Do you know the truth? What I want to say to you, please, try and hear me. If they agreed by themselves to live at peace under the white people, are you getting my point? They would have been enjoying more than they are currently enjoying today. Now, I'm not saying they should have stayed like that. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to say that the freedom they got, that they are now the rulers in South Africa, has not bought them any freedom. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm saying. The people are still as poor as before. The only difference is that they cannot be the one that, you know, you not call yourself king in the land. The people are still poor. Being king, you cannot force rain to fall. Being king, you can't force the economy to make progress. You can't force anything. If people are not liberated in their hearts, the country developed mostly under the white apartheid rule. You know that. Yeah. I'm not here to support apartheid. I'm not going to say that it's a bad form of government. Agreed. However, a people not free in their hearts, if you put them in charge of that government, the government will still be worse. What you just have is a new set of oppressors. Oppression still going on. Look at America. One of our brothers said that when you get to America, you will cry for black people. He said, there are places you get to. He said, poverty is bad. He said, but poverty in the midst of a rich country is painful. He said, there are places you get to in the United States that when you see poverty, can you believe that America at a point in time got Muhammad Yunus to come from Bangladesh to come and teach them how to help people prosper in America? Can you believe that? This microfinance thing, they bring it to America for us. Because you get to a place in America and you see people that are dirt poor. You see girls so poor, they will sleep with a man to get a meal. Oh, you think you're going to go to America? Angels everywhere. There's poverty everywhere. What I'm telling you guys is that the fact that you liberate somebody physically from slavery does not make him free. Until there's spiritual emancipation, people will always return to bondage. Most Nigerians that have gone abroad, that have not come back, can't come back. They can't. That's why they don't come home at all. If you see a Nigerian that you never see, it's not for any other reason that they can't afford it. He can't afford it. What's my emphasis? Listen, every time people get too free, they return to bondage. So you see people in South Africa, if they say, we are now free. If they don't spiritually emphasize their freedom, they will return to bondage in another way. Can't you see the way people are running over through, what do you call it? Sahara Desert. You think that is freedom? Before, do you know they went through the same desert? Oh, the way these things repeat itself. Do you know that the first place they used to take black slaves through was through that same desert? The same desert, the same route, the same Arabs. Now, the same people are back in the business, smuggling them. Now you use your money to pay them. 1.5 million naira is not cheap money. But slavery mentality, they are still bound. They keep going. They offer their hands into the chains. After that, that Trans-Sahara trade, they went by the ships from this side. Till now, our people are still offering. Right now, where we are selling our souls to today is Canada. The emigration to Canada is terrific. Again, it's the same way. It's nothing but slavery, but this time around,